So a few weeks ago, Lucasfilm hosted Star Wars Celebration 2023 and their Lucasfilm Showcase in London. And I'm sure a lot of you have kind of seen the videos and the trailers and the panel discussions that have been doing the rounds on the internet. But Bahir and I thought it would be fun to have a chat about all the things we loved and are looking forward to and are a little apprehensive about from the announcements that were made at Star Wars Celebration 2023.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of stuff.
Not
since Rise of Skywalker have we had a Star Wars movie on the big screen. And I think the biggest announcement from this year's Star Wars Celebration was the fact that there are finally going to be three new Star Wars movies. So, I mean, they've announced stuff in the past. They announced that Rian Johnson was making something, that Kevin Feige was making something, that Taika Waititi was making something, that Patty Jenkins was going to do a Rogue Squadron movie. They announced all of this stuff, but nothing ever came to fruition. This time, however, given the people involved, it looks like they're serious and that they may actually have stumbled upon where they want to take the saga next. I think that was always the problem. I think after the failure of The Rise of Skywalker, which I think was a failure, they haven't been clear as to where they want to take the big screen editions of the saga in the future. And I think this new direction is a positive one. Like, I'm genuinely excited that Dave Filoni gets to direct a big screen film. I think no one in that company knows Star Wars as well as Dave Filoni. And I also think because he's worked with George Lucas so closely, I think he's, for lack of a better phrase, heir to the throne. He's heir to the Empire, right? That's him. That's the man. That's the guy. He knows the inner workings of, like, if you see any interview with him, any question that gets thrown his way regarding the nitty-gritty of Star Wars,
he has an answer.
It's crazy.
And I think for me, the one thing I'm most excited about is that Filoni isn't writing a new Star Wars thing. He isn't doing a new story. The word has come through that what it is will be potentially a culmination, a tying up, an exclamation point to all the TV shows that he's been working on for the last, I don't know, 17 years or whatever it is, right?
Yeah, if you count the Clone Wars, Star Wars Rebels, Mandalorian, Book of Boba Fett.
And here's the thing. You mentioned Star Wars Rebels, which is where we got a lot of these characters who have now graduated into the real world, right? So the idea that, you know, someone like Ahsoka Tano and General fucking Thrawn has come through, and I think...
Admiral.
I'm sorry, what did I say?
Admiral Thrawn. General.
I'm sorry. I don't know. I'm talking out of my ass. I've never seen Rebels. But I think that's the point, right? Like, I know these characters and I'm hoping to see what Dave Filoni will do to them will be a real sort of great ending to everything.
I've been rewatching Star Wars Rebels and I always thought it was a very good show. But of course, in hindsight, after watching all the stuff that's going on in The Mandalorian and even in the Book of Boba Fett, rewatching Star Wars Rebels is a really interesting experience because it is such a complex show for a 20-minute kids cartoon. Also, it is a serialized 20-minute kids cartoon. So every season was between 16 and 22 episodes. And I think for all of the people who are complaining about The Mandalorian and how, oh, it's not just focusing on Din and where's the story going? Why are they telling all these side stories? I mean, Star Wars always did that. The Clone Wars cartoons always did that. Star Wars Rebels does that. And oftentimes those tend to be the strongest stories because you're building out a universe and you're building out characters. And I think Rebels, like Mandalorian, has probably done more to build out the Star Wars universe than any of the movies have done.
Oh, absolutely.
And I think that's the most important thing.
Absolutely, yeah.
That's its greatest strength. And so it's so good to see Filoni kind of build on that and develop that. Like, the trailer for Ahsoka looks fantastic.
That looks great.
It's so nice that they've paid such close attention in translating these characters from animation to real life. Like, they haven't dropped the ball on that.
Yeah. I didn't watch Rebels. It doesn't mean anything to me that Ahsoka's in it or that Thrawn's in it or that Sabine Wren's in it. Like, none of this matters to me. But I'm so happy because the people I know who love those characters are completely thrilled with it because it means that it's translating well. It's moving along well. And I appreciate that. So when I'm going to watch it, I'll be really excited for that. I think that's what I'm looking forward to. I'm also really looking forward to the films moving past the Skywalker saga. That Skywalker name is dead. I'm done with it. Like, that was what I was most excited with, looking forward to with Rogue Squadron, because it wasn't going to be another Luke Skywalker, Han Solo, Yoda thing. But now, I guess they're all dead now, aren't they? They have to move past it.
Yes, that is true. Everyone is dead.
Except Chewbacca and Lando. I'm looking forward to that. I think the idea of the first Jedi is a really exciting story. I think James Mangold's going to just knock that out of the park. I know the third film has been getting some, how shall I put it, Uma? Flack, because they're bringing back Rey. But I kind of like what the pitch is. I like the idea of it's Rey building a new Jedi Order. I like that pitch.
I think it's going to be interesting to see where they go with the third film, given the director who's involved. The director is Sharmeen Obaid-Chinoy, who is a journalist, non-fiction filmmaker, and activist. Until she did Ms. Marvel, of course. She was a director on two of the episodes of Ms. Marvel. She's never done a film of this scale before. And my concern is not with her skill. My concern is with Kathleen Kennedy. Because every time Kathleen Kennedy hires these people, like she did with Solo, she gets involved and then she usually ends up firing them. So I'm hoping they give Sharmeen Obaid-Chinoy a chance to actually bring whatever vision she has to reality, because that's what I've always felt Star Wars was lacking. I think Star Wars was lacking the kind of vision that a young director who grew up as a fan of the series would bring to the show, as opposed to people who are already entrenched within the Hollywood system.
Yeah.
We see that with The Mandalorian. We see what Jon Favreau has brought to it. I would say Favreau is only recently a part of the Hollywood establishment. I think he was always an outsider. And you can see from the movie Chef what kind of an outsider he was, right? And I think he grew up as a fan. And I think that's why I'm most excited about Skeleton Crew by John Watts, because yet again, he's a young filmmaker. He cut his teeth at Marvel, made three great Spider-Man movies, and had a fantastic idea that might come to fruition in a really good way. I'm hoping for all of these new visions of Star Wars. I think that's what I'm most excited about this Rey movie. Like, I was so cheesed off with The Last Skywalker, or The Rise of Skywalker, or whatever that movie was called. I was so cheesed off with The Rise of Skywalker that I don't even think about Rey as a character anymore, because I was so bored by that movie. And so now that they tell me it's going to be directed by this lady, that it's going to be, you know, Rey reinvigorating the Jedi and doing stuff, I'm like, oh, okay, we're taking this in a new direction. Hopefully it's going to be good.
I'm looking forward to the risk they're taking with this. Even if it's a small... Fuck, even if they make The Perks of Being a Wallflower-style Star Wars show, I'd love the shit out of that. You know what I mean? Like, make it small. It doesn't have to be world-ending every fucking time.
You know what? Star Trek has had some tremendous success with that on the small screen by doing those sorts of things. I think Star Trek Prodigy, the animated series, this YA-style Star Trek show with young people on a starship being mentored by Captain Janeway, it's a completely new thing and it really works. I think Lower Decks, the comedy, has really found a life of its own and it's incredibly funny, and yet it's still Trek at the same time. And so I'd like Star Wars to do these sorts of different things as well.
Skeleton Crew, which is essentially being billed as a Goonies-esque Star Wars thing. I think there's also the cartoon, what's that one called? The Young Jedis?
Oh, the Little Jedis being mentored by Yoda.
Yeah, before they get slaughtered by Anakin Skywalker.
Well, I think it's set hundreds of years before Anakin, so it
I see.
It might not be that.
We're not going to touch that. Okay, yeah. I think I still see that boy's face in my mind.
That's a great fucking scene, man, from Sith.
That's a great fucking scene, dude. Like, I don't even need to see
the
kids die.
I think opens.
Just that, and then the kid face. Sort of steps back. I was just like, oh, George Lucas, you naughty boy. So good. Such a great shot. Anyway, moving along.
I think we can't escape the mythology of the Jedi because it's so ingrained into Star Wars. But not all Star Wars has to be about lightsabers and fighting. And I think Mandalorian has kind of proven that.
Yeah.
It's nice to be able to build out that universe in that direction as well. We've had it in the comic books. We've had it in the novels. It's all there. And it'll be really cool to see it on the big screen. So I don't know about you. I, for one, am really excited about these things.
Sames. I'm on board.
Like, as a fan, I always want more of the thing I like. And I want more good versions of the thing I like.
You can't get to more good versions of the things you like by not having had a few bad versions of the things you like.
Correct.
And I'm okay with that, right? Like, look, I was going to say, it's not like they're trying to make a Star Wars musical. And then as soon as I said it, I was like, I wouldn't mind watching that.
Damn right.
There's nothing wrong with being a little off-center. There's nothing wrong with being a little left-wing. And I think that's kind of where all the interesting TV shows come from.
When you skew it a little bit, when you take things in a different direction, it may completely surprise you. The Mandalorian is the perfect example of that. People were incredibly apprehensive with the idea of the show. And early episodes, they were quite critical about it as well, because the only thing they were saying was like, wait, this doesn't seem to be going anywhere. What is he doing? He's just kind of wandering about planets and doing odd jobs, etc., etc. And it turns out that you need to give these things time to breathe, right? And to develop into something greater. And now we're in season 3 of The Mandalorian, and it is fucking beautiful. It is brilliant. The last big thing that was shown to us at Star Wars Celebration isn't really Star Wars related, but we got a trailer for the new Indiana Jones movie. Which is so exciting. I have to say, I think, apart from Guardians Volume 3, or even more so than Guardians Volume 3, Indiana Jones might be the thing that I'm most looking forward to.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, Last Crusade was one of the early movies that I watched as a kid in the cinemas. And I remember it was, I think, the first movie that I watched more than once at the cinema.
Right.
And I love those movies. They're right up there with some of my favorite movies of all time. And Crystal Skull was such a tragic disappointment that my box set feels tarred by its presence.
I kind of feel like I need a new indie movie just to sort of wipe the taste of Crystal Skull out of my mouth, you know?
Correct.
I think that's why I need it more than anything. I guess, no, the more I think about it, I think Indiana Jones is probably also up there for me this year more than Guardians, because also, interestingly enough, those are the two movies that are probably sort of are going to be doing a big change, right? Because I think this will probably be Harrison Ford's final one. And then we've all heard the rumors about what's going to happen in Guardians 3. So it's like, where do we go from here in both those IPs?
With Indiana Jones, it's quite interesting because Disney isn't just saying that it's Harrison Ford's final one. They're saying it's going to be the last Indiana Jones movie. I mean, I don't know if they're going to stick with that, but they're saying there is no Indiana Jones without Harrison Ford. So therefore, it's done. They're killing the franchise. They're like, this movie dies with the actor, right? And this character dies with the actor.
I am on board for that. Like, I'm completely game. Do a Waller Bridge version of Indiana Jones. It doesn't have to be Indiana Jones, right? It could be whatever her name is on an adventure, which is ironic because she's also apparently writing the Lara Croft Tomb Raider TV show for Amazon Prime. But anyway, moving along.
Forget about Indiana Jones as a character because he's done. The character's dead. Oh my God, let's move on kind of thing.
Yeah,
and you actually spend the time to create a new character that people might be invested in. And if you write it well enough, hey, look at that. Brand new IP for you to milk.
Because it's in-universe, she can refer to Indiana Jones. She can pull up an old photo of Harrison Ford going, that was one beautiful old man. You know, like the world exists. You don't have to do the legwork of trying to redo. Nazis are still there. We can still play with them. You know what I mean? It's great.
Also, with Dial of Destiny, we know very little about what the movie is about, but it looks like there's going to be some time travel shenanigans, and I am always there for that.
I don't know about time travel. I don't think it'll be time travel. I don't think it'll be time travel. I think it'll be flashbacks. That's where my money is.
Oh, man. I don't know, man. I think with the Nazis, some time travel action will be good.
To be fair, they had aliens in the last one.
But also, you know, if they shenan once, they're going to shenan again, right? I'm telling you.
I guess it's possible.
I have faith in James Mangold, just based on the movies that he's done. He has a very clear directorial vision and style. I mean, that's the other reason I'm so excited about Guardians Volume 3, right? Because I think Mangold, James Gunn are two of this generation's greatest living directors. And so it's always nice when we see what they have and what they want to put on screen. They've been on a bit of a roll of late because their last few movies have all been pretty excellent. So again, that fills me with some confidence as well. That's pretty much all we can talk about because the rest of the stuff wasn't shown to the public. Like, there were panel discussions on Skeleton Crew, on Acolyte, which is the other Star Wars series. There was also stuff on Andor Season 2. Like, all of that stuff is coming, and they showed some exclusive clips, but they only showed it to the people in the room, and they haven't actually released that stuff on the internet yet. So we've got very little information about that. I watched the panel discussions when they got them all out, but of course, none of that tells you anything. It's everyone just going, oh, it was so beautiful working with Jude Law. And, oh, yes, I've loved Star Wars since I was a child. My father took me to the cinema. I mean, it's all that stuff. So we got very little information about the actual shows. Andor Season 1 was fantastic. We loved it. So I'm looking forward to Andor Season 2. My excitement for Andor Season 2 is that Andy Serkis is coming back. So thank God for that.
My disappointment about Andor Season 2 is that it's only expected to come out in August 24.
Yeah, it's a long time.
The Acolyte's cool. I think The Acolyte sounds cool. Skeleton Crew is cool. And they're all cool.
Skeleton Crew is the new thing that I'm most excited for because they keep throwing around words like Amblin-esque. And I'm just like, yes.
Yes. Goonies.
That is the kind of shit Goonies, I grew up Amblin, watching as a child.
Yeah.
And this is their strategy, Vahir. This is their plan all along, right? It's this basically... is how they get you, man. You get the nostalgia for all those guys in their 40s who now have spending money.
Yes.
And then you make them buy all of the toys.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, I know Skeleton Crew is about a group of kids on a starship. And let me tell you, when the Lego version of that starship comes out, motherfucker, I am there.
You've already pre-purchased all of them.
You know what I really want? I really want Ezra Bridger's lightsaber from the first two seasons of Star Wars Rebels. And a Lego version of their ship, the Ghost. But I didn't buy it way back then, and now I think those things are retailing for about $700. So that's annoying.
Cool. I'll take your word for it, because I don't know what you're talking about.
I think you should watch Rebels. It's really good. Anyway, let us know your thoughts on Star Wars Celebration and the Lucasfilm Showcase. We want to know what you think, what you're most excited for. There's a whole bunch of Star Wars stuff coming out. So if you're a fan, there's just more things than you can shake a stick at. Reach out on all of our social media feeds, GogglerMY. You can also email us, if you please, on podcast@goggler.my, or send us a WhatsApp on the Goggler hotline, 012-524-5208. Don't forget, if you drop us a line on any one of those platforms, we will send you a link to join our brand new Discord server where you can talk to us in real time. Thank you so much for listening. This is the Goggler Podcast.